scripture lesson today is from chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I'm reading from the New International Version. It is written by Paul when he was in prison, in jail, to the people of Colossae. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Before I come up here to say the message, I always bow my head and say a prayer. But the prayer that I say before I talk to the children is bigger. Oh, Lord, I don't know what they're going to say, but let me hang in there. Folks, for those of you who I don't know, or you may be new to the congregation or visiting, my first name is Kim. As Liz talked about Brad and Tanya up north for the commissions going on and so forth and a conference going on, I'm going to be the person that fills in. I'm a lay member of the church, which simply means almost every Sunday I'm sitting where you are sitting listening to Pastor Brad. But Pastor Brad was kind enough to ask me to deliver the word today. So the title of the message this morning is Four Christian Game Changers. Four Christian Game Changers. Let me define game changer so we're all on the same page. A game changer is an action that can completely alter the way something is done. Let me say it again. A game changer is the way an action that can take place that can possibly change the way everything is done. And today, when we talk about changing something or everything, when we talk about the game changers, we're going to talk about how it changes people's lives. Let me give you some non-Christian game changers so we make sure we're on the same page. When I first moved here, somebody explained 8th Street to me. And they talked about, you know, hey, the streets are heated and the sidewalks were heated. And they made the comment it was a game changer for Holland. Our daughter-in-law and son, 30 days ago, welcomed Claire into the world, their first child. It's a game changer. When I was in the business world, we introduced a new product at one point in time, and it was a game changer. Many times you'll hear something like this, there's a certain disease or illness out there, and somebody finds a vaccine or a cure, and they call it a game changer. So a game changer most often is when it's going a certain way and it changes for the better. So this morning, four Christian game changers. For those of you in the congregation this morning who are left-brain people, it means you have to have things in a certain sequence. You're probably sitting there saying, why four? Why not three? Why not seven? A lot of it has to do with the time frame that we have. If I had 10 minutes, I'd do two. If I had 30 minutes, I'd do six. And as I talk about these, I think you'll agree that they're important. I'm not standing up here this morning and saying, though, these are the four most important ones. I'm just saying that they're very important. The way I will cover the four is use the same pattern. I will tell you what the game changer is. I will share three Bible verses that support that action, that game changer, and then I'll tell you a story that illustrates that point. And that's the sequence that will follow. So game changer number one, accept Christ unequivocally. Accept Christ. Three Bible verses that support that. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Galatians 3:26. For in Christ you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. And the third one is the scripture that we just heard a couple minutes ago. I'll read just the first part. So then, just as you have received Christ, Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Now, many of you are sitting here and say, I accepted Christ when I was in the fourth grade. I accepted Christ when I was a junior in high school. I accepted Christ when I was 28 years old. Fantastic. We have to continue to renew our vows in accepting Christ. A story to illustrate this. I'll ask a trivia question that leads to the story. By a show of hands, who was Marion Morrison? One, two, you were in first service, Liz, you know the answer. We got a cheater in church. Okay, I see maybe three hands. Very good, okay. Marion Morrison was the real name of John Wayne. John Wayne, for three decades, was one of the top, if not the top, actors out in Hollywood. He was Mr. Tough Guy. He was the Duke, they called him. I mean, he was so famous, he's in 142 different movies. If you travel to Southern California, just south of L.A., and you fly into Orange County Airport, it's named after John Wayne. I mean, John Wayne was the tough guy. Now, there was a minister out on the West Coast that was probably the most famous minister on the West Coast at that time, Reverend Robert Schuller. How many, show of hands, have at least heard that name? Okay, Reverend Robert Schuller. Where did he go to college? Hope College, right down the street is where he went. Now, Robert Schuller was very famous. He knew John Wayne. John Wayne kind of knew him. He didn't go to his church, but they were acquaintances. At one point in time, when Robert Schuller's daughter was in high school, a teenager, she was in a very bad motorcycle accident. They had to amputate her leg. Now, John Wayne heard about it. This is before texting, before email. He had to send a handwritten card saying to the effect of, I hope you get better. When Schuller's daughter got the card, she was ecstatic. I mean, John Wayne, the Duke, the man, he sent her a get well card. And she asked the nurses, can you bring me a tablet? Can you bring me a pen? Because I'm going to write him a letter back. She had no idea where he lived, no clue how to get it to him, but she wrote the letter. And one of the most famous lines in that letter said this, Mr. Wayne, I hope you've accepted Christ because I can't imagine heaven without John Wayne. And she wrote the letter. Now, no clue how to get it to John Wayne. A gentleman walks in who's a friend of Robert Schuller and he knows the daughter. And he's talking to her, how you feeling, how you doing, the kind of stuff you'd say when you go to the hospital. And finally, the visitor says to Schuller's daughter, what were you writing when I came in? She said, oh, I got a card from John Wayne. And I just wrote him a letter back. And I have no clue how I'm going to get it to him. I just want to send it to him, though. And he said, well, I know John Wayne. In fact, there's about 10 to 12 of us to get together once a month at the Balboa Yacht Club, and we just tell stories and jokes and we laugh. And it just happens to be tonight. Time out for a minute. I would sit here and go, what a coincidence. Unbelievable. She writes this letter, no idea where he lives. This guy comes in, he knows John Wayne. They get together once a month, and it's tonight. What a coincidence. One of my favorite quotes on coincidence goes like this. Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. Back to the story. Oh, would you take the letter? Would you take the letter? Oh, I absolutely will. So the visitor goes that night, and they're sitting down, and there's about 10 or 12 of them at the table. They're telling jokes. They're laughing. They're having a good time. And he realizes he's got the letter in his pocket. So he gets up, and he walks to the head of the table where John Wayne was sitting and gives him the letter. And he said, hey, I was with Schuller's daughter today. She wrote you a letter. She was ecstatic to get your thing, you know, your card. She wants you to read it. And so they go back to laughing and joking and everything at the table. And as the story's told, one by one, the other men did this. They just looked down at John Wayne, the man, the Duke, the tough guy, and he's crying. And he looks up to the visitor, and here's what he says, as close as I can quote it. You tell that little girl, tonight, right here at this table, John Wayne
accepts Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I will see her in heaven. 3 weeks later, John Wayne died. John Wayne accepted Christ. David and the music team sing that song there at the very beginning, I love. It's always in my mind till at least Thursday, the cornerstone. And the one line is, Christ alone, cornerstone. Game changer one, accept Christ. Number two game changer, take a knee. Now, I'm going to use take a knee as a synonym this morning for pray. Now, Pastor Brad did an entire series on prayer and when to pray, how to structure it. I'm not going to go to that depth. But when we say take a knee, I don't know if you physically need to take a knee to say a prayer, but I'm going to talk about when I say take a knee, we're going to talk about praying. Listen to three Bible verses about taking a knee. Oh, come, Psalm 95, 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Romans 14, 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow down to me. Philippians 2, 8 through 10. And Jesus, being found in human form, he humbled himself and he became obedient until death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down. Now, depending on what news you listen to, over the last 2 years, and specifically over the last week, the phrase take a knee has meant something else. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about the National Football League. And if you're not familiar with this, it started 2 years ago, was really intact last year, that during the national anthem, a number of players would take a knee. And some people say, okay, I'm okay with that. Others will say, I'll never watch a National Football League game again. What a disrespect to our service people. And the people are somewhere in between. Now, if it absolutely ticks you off, stick with me for a couple minutes. Don't get up and walk out. I want to tell you the first time that the National Football League players took a knee. It happened to be a Monday night game, December the 3rd, 1990. 27, 28 years ago. And what happened is it was the end of the game. And the San Francisco 49ers were playing the New York Giants. And four players from the San Francisco team and two from the New York Giants took a knee. And what they did was after the game, went to the 50-yard line, took a knee, put their hand on each other, and said a prayer. This will be the 28th year. Only one time in a regular season game in the last 27 years did the players not meet at the 50-yard line and say a prayer. Somehow that doesn't make the TV sets. They average about 20 people, players, go to the 50-yard line, take a knee, and say a prayer. There's a story told about a player from the Buffalo Bills. He saw at the very beginning of 1990 these other players take a knee by his own admission. I never prayed my whole life. I don't go to Bible study. I don't go to church. I don't even know what it means to be a Christian. But he said, what I saw, was those players who took a knee from my team came back into the locker room, they were different than everyone else in a very positive way. And he said, I have to figure out what that is. So the next game, he went out at the 50-yard line and took a knee. He only listened. The next game, same thing. Next game, same thing. And then he started going to Bible study. And then he went to church. And then he did what we talked about, game changer one. He accepted Christ. The most people that have ever gone to the 50-yard line and taken a knee to say a prayer afterward was not in the National Football League. Those of you who follow college sports in football, They have the bowl games at the end of the season. The granddaddy of them all is the Rose Bowl. And after one of the Rose Bowl games, 90 went to the 50-yard line, took a knee, and said a prayer. So when you listen to some of the stuff on TV, remember for 27 straight years, 20 of those players take a knee at the end of the game to say a prayer. Take a knee when you need to. Game changer number three. Probably since Pastor Brad has been here, I've heard him say this more than anything else. Help others. Help others. Let me read three Bible verses. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to your interest, but also to the interest of others. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is needed, when it is in your power to do it. Help others. Some of you will be familiar with this story. It happened last July in Indianapolis, Indiana. A couple, bride and groom, are getting ready to get married. Their wedding day is 1 week out, and they've got a wonderful wedding, a phenomenal reception put together, and 1 week, the Saturday before, they decided to cancel their wedding and not get married. Now, both the bride, groom, probably have an opportunity there to feel very sad about themselves. But the bride said, no, here's what we're going to do. We've got a tremendous reception put together. We've got music playing before, we got music playing after, we got appetizers, we got surf and turf, we've got a little bit of everything going on. And so she, on Monday, they're supposed to get married on Saturday, on Monday, she calls four homeless shelters in Indianapolis, says, you get them there, and I'll show them the best time ever. Get them there. We're going to have appetizers. We're going to have white tablecloths. We're going to dance. We're going to sing. We're going to eat surf and turf. We're going to have desserts. You get them there. Well, one businessman down in Indianapolis heard about it. He said, any man that needs a suit to go, I'll pay for it. A lady who owned a dress shop said, if any woman needs a dress, I'll pay for it. A tailor heard about it and said, hey, if either the dresses or the suits need to be tailored, I'll come. I'll do it free. And people helping other people. Today, the bride still volunteers 1 day a week at the homeless shelter. In February, mid-February, it's Random Act of Kindness Day. I would challenge you this coming week, find somebody outside of your immediate family that you can do a random act of kindness. Two stories. Both happened in the last 7 days. Both in an airport, totally different airports though. And you may have read about these. One was a young college student coming back from Europe. She got to a certain place in the airport and her luggage weighed more than the 50 pounds. So she owed $50. She no longer had it on her credit card, that amount, nor did she have cash. And one person there came over, listened to her story, shells out $50. How do I get it back to you? You don't need to get it back to me. The other story, a lady comes off an airplane. She's in a wheelchair. And I've flown a lot in my business career. I've seen this so many times that they kind of get the person that's in the wheelchair off the plane, and then they may sit there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and they need to go see their family on the other side of the security line. Well, this gentleman just saw the lady there and said, where are you going? You're going outside of security? He says, yeah. He said, I'll push you. Just a random act of kindness. Pushed her so she'd go visit her family. Now, I am not a walking, talking billboard for the National Football League, but the two examples I just gave you were players in the National Football League that did it. The final game changer, embrace grace. Oh, when David and his team sing, you know, Amazing Grace, that's just so powerful. That is so powerful.
2 weeks ago, Joan and I were out in Portland, Oregon, exactly today. We were on the 12th floor of the Marriott, and we can hear a guy start playing on the bagpipes. Amazing grace. Open every window. We gotta listen to this. What do the Bible verses say about embrace grace? Romans 3, 24. By the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 11. For God revealed his grace for the salvation of all people. Revelation 24, 21. That's the very last verse in the entire Bible. Depending on which version you read, here's what it says. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Final story about embrace grace. It is a nonfiction story. Martha is a member of the First United Methodist Church in Holland, Michigan. Now, Martha passes away, and she goes toward heaven. And there is St. Peter at the gate. And she can see that St. Peter has a sheet of paper. And it's a checklist. And St. Peter explains to Martha, this is a checklist, and you need 100 points to get into heaven. She says, okay, she's going to qualify very easily. And so St. Peter says, tell me something that you did that was good. She said, oh, I've been a member of the First United Methodist Church since I was knee-high. I went to church every Sunday that we weren't traveling somewhere. I was in church. And I went to Sunday school classes, and I went to church, in fact, a couple days before I passed away, and I've been a devout member of going to church. St. Peter says, oh, Martha, that's wonderful. That's 2 points. So tell me something else you did. She said, oh, she said, my husband and I have been married 66 years. Now, he passed away before me, but I was faithful to him every single day. The last couple years of his life were pretty tough, both mentally and physically, and I took care of him. I was there every month, every week, every day, every hour. I took care of him. St. Peter said, Martha, that's wonderful. That's 1 point. Now she's a bit confused and a bit concerned, and St. Peter says, tell me something else you did. He said, well, at the First United Methodist Church, I volunteered a lot. I was in the community kitchen at least twice a week. I helped out at Lake Louise. I don't mean to brag, St. Peter, but I hold the record at the First United Methodist Church for making the most pigs in a blanket in one day. And I helped out with the Sunday school classes. St. Peter goes, oh, Martha, that's wonderful. That's 1 point. So she would have thought she's at 400 points by now. She's got 4 out of 100. And so she's a bit confused, a bit concerned, and she says this to St. Peter. At this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. St. Peter puts down that checklist, and he looks up at her and says, Martha, bingo, come on in. Grace, amazing grace, embrace grace. So folks, in conclusion, there you have it. We are all on a Christian journey. This coming week, we're going to continue that journey. We're at different places. I would ask you to think about these four and say, which one of these game changer actions do you need to connect with even more? Accept Christ, take a knee, help others, embrace grace. Amen.